you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Last week, if you missed my sermon, I preached on discipleship, and today we're going to continue with that theme of discipleship. Last week, I quoted Archbishop Foley Beach's teaching on discipleship, where he quoted John the Baptist, who said, "Jesus must increase, and I must decrease." That is the essence of discipleship. As you become a disciple and a follower of Jesus, Jesus will increase in you. Day by day, his love, his priorities, his Holy Spirit will increase in you. Jesus will increase and you will decrease. Day by day, your flesh, your priorities, your self-will will be moved out of the way as Jesus increases in you. That is discipleship. And if that is not happening, then either you are not a disciple or you're not growing as a disciple. Discipleship is before us in the midst of all of our readings this morning, and we don't have time to dig into every one of them. We're going to be focusing on Paul's letter to the first century church in Galatia. So if I invite you to turn in your pew Bibles to page 974, both so you can follow along and you can join in as we will read parts of that scripture. So page 974, Galatians 5, in your pew Bibles. Now, for those of you that already have them open, I'm going to invite you to read chapter 5, verse 1 with me. So let's read this together. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Paul is writing to the early church in a region of present-day Turkey, a church that was full of both Jewish and Gentile followers of Jesus, Jewish and Gentile disciples. And Paul was writing to correct their misunderstanding that all disciples of Jesus must be circumcised under Jewish traditions and under Jewish law. So let's read verse 1 again. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Paul makes a definitive statement here. If you have repented of your sins and turned in faith to Jesus Christ, then Jesus has set you free. He has set you free to live in freedom. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Do you hear the good news? And then Paul adds a warning. You are set free for freedom. Stand firm, then. Don't submit again to slavery. Literally, Paul says, persevere and stand firm in your freedom. Don't submit. Don't be entangled again in slavery. Slavery, Paul declares, is the enemy of freedom in Jesus Christ. Slavery, Paul declares, is the enemy of discipleship. Slavery is a primary weapon that our enemy, Satan, will use against each and every one of you to keep you from growing, to keep you from maturing as a disciple, to keep you from making disciples. Slavery and freedom are the two topics before us this morning. Now, I want to pause for a second here to illustrate how crafty our enemy is using an example from modern-day advertising. Now, does anyone here work in the fields of advertising? Okay, good. I don't intend to demonize them or their trade, but I'm seeking to make a point. Now, a question for you. Do advertisers tell the truth? Okay, I heard sometimes, I heard yes, there are mixed reviews on advertisers. That's one of the points. My understanding is that good, honest advertisers who have integrity, they do tell the truth, but not the whole truth. They withhold some information. They tell the truth of what's good about their product while they seek to minimize any negatives or to outright ignore the negatives. Their job is to sell. And one doesn't sell things when one highlights the problems or negatives of any product. Take this product, for example. I'm sorry if you're hungry. In late 2018, McDonald's released this double bacon smokehouse burger. I don't know if it's still on their menu. It has two 100% fresh beef patties cooked to order. And they declared their move to fresh, understand, not frozen. Fresh beef is their latest step to build a better McDonald's. So they're telling the truth here. These beef patties are 100% beef. They're fresh, not frozen. They're cooked to order. They're building a better McDonald's. But they're using terms that are common in our health-conscious culture. They're co-opting them. They're saying fresh. Sometimes I hear healthy when I hear fresh, but are they meaning healthy here? Well, are they lying? They're just not telling the whole truth. Imagine the advertiser stating for this burger, look at this delicious burger. It's delicious, it's fresh, never frozen, and it contains 1,130 calories, 27 grams of fat, and 1,920 milligrams of sodium. It's certain to raise your blood pressure. If you don't have hypertension, you're on your way, and it will probably cause you to feel sick when you're finished eating. Are they going to sell anything? I hope you're tracking with me here. Some advertisers do outright lie, but advertisers with integrity tell the truth, but withhold the truth that might be negative or damaging. Now, returning to our discussion of freedom and slavery, we're talking about the enemy, Satan. And he has no integrity. He will lie. He will twist. He will take truth and spin it, and he will deceive. Be on guard. The enemy seeks to use every side of every human situation to keep people from finding freedom in Christ and to get Jesus' disciples to return to slavery. Think about reading the Bible. That's a great thing to do every day, right? The enemy will whisper in your ear, oh, you're too busy. You've got lots of things going on. Don't read your Bible. It's okay. You read it yesterday. He'll whisper and he'll whisper to draw you away. And then shortly thereafter, he'll say, you should be ashamed you didn't read your Bible. What kind of follower of Jesus are you? He uses both sides of even good things. And he will. Satan does not want you to be free in any way. He wants to keep you enslaved in sin, discouraged and depressed under shame, under accusation, and under regret, and under judgment, any way he can. So let's read verse 1 again. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to yoke of slavery. Now, let's just read the first part, but I want you to put me in there. I want you to put yourself into that. So you're going to say, Christ has set me free. So for freedom, Christ has set me free. Say that again. For freedom, Christ has set me free. Think about the word freedom. If you're tracking with me, you may suspect where I'm going to go with this, but think about freedom. What does our culture and our world declare about freedom? How does it describe it? Freedom is to do what you want. No restrictions, no consequences. True freedom is doing whatever you want without all these rules. And here we have the lies of Satan pitted directly against the truth of God's inspired word. In verses 19 and 20, Paul declares the works of the flesh, which Paul says reflect slavery. Follow along as I read this. Now the works of the flesh are evident. sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. As if the list isn't long enough, he says, and things like these. In the language of the modern world, are these things slavery or freedom? They're freedom. You're free to do whatever you want. You're free to do. You have earned the right to do these things. You're okay. You're angry. You're angry because someone made you mad. You're righteously angry. He will use all of these. Do you see how Satan can twist? He's stolen the good of freedom found in Jesus Christ and distorted that freedom to mean exactly the opposite. And we hear even those who say they follow Jesus supporting and encouraging freedoms that scriptures clearly warn against. Stand firm. Be on guard. For freedom, Christ has set me free. I'm hoping you're going to catch on here. For freedom, Christ has set me free. Stand firm, church, and do not submit again to slavery. Now look at these terms that Paul uses here for the works of the flesh. Every single one is self-focused, self-centered, self-gratifying, self-protecting. Every one of them. They're all narcissistically driven, all benefiting self. Now look at Paul's antidote. We're jumping to verse 22. His positive replacement for the sin-based, self-centered freedom in the works of the flesh. And his definition of true freedom is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read verses 22 and 23 together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. As you read those, do you see the other focused reality behind each of these terms? These aren't self-centered. Patience really does nothing for me, except for aggravate me. It's about the other. These aren't the fruit of your effort. These aren't the fruit of your determination. These aren't the fruit of your perfection. They are the fruit of the Spirit. This is fruit that's not possible without Jesus living in you and His Holy Spirit increasing in you day by day. The Holy Spirit who will bring these fruits into you and through you reflect them to others. For freedom, Christ has set me free. Thank you. For freedom, Christ has set me free. This is the good news, that in Christ you are free from Satan's slavery, free to grow as a disciple, free to decrease as Jesus increases by His Holy Spirit in you. And the good news of this message is magnified as each and every day you stumble and you trip and you fall and you sin and you make mistakes before God. The good news of this message is magnified because you are free in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven and restored back into His freedom as you repent of your sin and turn back to Him. It's not about perfection. It's about dependence. Dependence on His mercy, His grace, and upon Him, the Lord. The good news is nothing you do can disqualify you from His love, from His forgiveness, and then from His healing and restoration. So if today you are hearing in this message condemnation or guilt or shame in any part, that's the enemy seeking to keep you in slavery. I hope you'll begin to recognize that. Repent of your sin. Let go of your shame. Let go of the accusations that Satan has against you. Turn away from those and turn instead in the other direction to Jesus. Return to Him and have your freedom restored. For freedom, Christ has set me free. Seek to persevere, stand firm, empowered by the Holy Spirit, because the enemy will twist and lie and accuse to keep you under shame and regret, disemboweled from Jesus' freedom. I want to return to the image of the cheeseburger. Is this cheeseburger evil? No, it's food. But the enemy will use things like that, both sides of it, to draw you away from God's best to you. Imagine you're under the doctor's orders to restrict sodium. The enemy will tell you that you're free to eat that burger. Doesn't it look good? You deserve that burger. The doctor has no right to restrict your freedom. Besides, you've denied for at least a day and a half, and now you deserve it. And then seconds after eating that burger, the enemy will whisper shame in your ear. You're going to die. You're going to die sooner because of your lack of discipline. You're worthless. You've let your family down. You left your church down because you ate this burger. The enemy will use both sides. You get where I'm going with this. He'll be pro-burger as you walk in, and he'll be pro-health and restriction as you leave. Whatever he can to keep you under his thumb. Shamed, feeling worthless, feeling far away from God. He seeks to destroy your faith and destroy you. Even if you have high blood pressure, one cheeseburger isn't bad. But if every time you're upset, if every time you're feeling down, if every day you're turning and then turning and turning to this, it will kill you. And also, you're going to feel terrible. And you're going to feel shame and regret that you can't control. The enemy is crafty. Some of you are hearing, perhaps way down in the back of your head, because you've stuffed it for a long time, whatever the struggle is that you deal with, that the enemy uses with you. Perhaps it's sugar or salt or lust. Maybe it's anger. And some of you just perked up. Wait, anger? Well, Paul's list of the works of the flesh records a couple big evils. Yeah, we all agree on that. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, terrible. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, jealousy, anger, rivalry. Paul gets up close and personal with every one of us in this list. The works of the flesh. Take the fits of anger. If you deal with a short temper, Paul can disrupt you from worship here in a moment by someone making a noise behind you, or by a song you don't like, or by the temperature, or he can disrupt your worship like that because suddenly you're angry. Or you could be praying in your car and disrupt you suddenly because you're so angry that someone even cut somebody else off. You're angry at them for that. The enemy will use all of it to cut you off from your freedom. All it takes is one step across that line into whatever the struggle is, and then Satan's work is a success and heap shame. We're so good at putting shame on ourselves. The enemy just has to start the process. Or envy, or jealousy, or anything on this list. In everything, the enemy says, you are inadequate, you are not lovable, you are not worthy, you are pathetic, you are worthless. For freedom, Christ has set me free. Jesus Christ has set you free, so don't return to slavery. In my own life, for a long time, I've struggled with alcohol. Now, I don't, and I never have, drank alcohol to get drunk. But my family history, my family experience, all of that ties into a lifelong struggle with alcohol and alcoholic tendencies. And in my head, I deserve to have a drink. A glass of wine isn't bad. But then I regret the drink. Why couldn't I have been strong enough to say no? It's a constant in my head and has been for a long time. I deserve it, and then shame. I have no self-control. Now, I wasn't drinking to get drunk, but I was drinking to medicate. Don't miss that. I didn't want to feel my anxiety or my pain or my stress or whatever it was or my frustration. So I deserve to take the edge off. But in my decision to medicate, I ignore the freedom Jesus offered me if I would turn to him first instead of a drink. And that journey was hard because last two Lents, I didn't have any alcohol. And every day during the first few weeks, I'm thinking, I deserve this. I can't deal with it. I'm more anxious. I need the medication. I need the medication. I need the medication. I'm angry that I can't have the medication. But after about a month, I began to not hear my own voice complaining as much, and I began to feel my pain. And then I really wanted the medication. And all I had, because I'm going to be a good Christian, I gave this up for Lent, then I began to turn to Jesus. And it was then finally that my eyes were opened to the fact that the medication didn't help me at all. It kept me in a perpetual state of pain. Just medicated for a while. It kept me from finding true freedom. Are you tracking with me? Perhaps the Lord is prompting you to consider how you may be medicating. Missing out on the healing that God wants to bring to you. The freedom he offers you. I can say today, I haven't had a drink since Ash Wednesday. I don't plan to drink again. Now understand, alcohol's not bad. That's not what I'm saying. But it was in my life a tool of the enemy to keep me from depending on him, to keep me from experiencing his healing. The forgiveness and healing he wanted to offer me, but I had to give him my pain. I had to feel it. I had to bring my pain to the brothers and sisters in Christ that are my spiritual support. I had to share it with them and ask them to pray for me because I couldn't handle it. And then the Lord brings healing and freedom when we do that. And my story illustrates why growing as disciples is so important. Growing as disciples. We're not in a transactional faith where we believe in Jesus and that's it. We're forgiven. Nothing else. Read scripture. It's a day-to-day walk with Jesus. It's a day-to-day walk as Jesus increases in us, identifying brokenness, identifying sin and the works of the flesh that we've allowed or that we think are normal, and that he will move aside as he takes over. It's a day by day, Jesus increasing and you decreasing until you meet him in heaven. And as you stand firm, and as by God's power in you and strength through the encouragement of the body of Christ around you, you reject Satan's false freedom and you grow in your experience of the hope that we have in Jesus and the new life that we have in Jesus and the true freedom that you have and that I have in Jesus Christ and the healing that he will do to restore those broken places in your heart. Are you resigned to stay in Satan's slavery? I hope you know that. Are you resigned? Are you stuck in Satan's slavery? No, of course not. The enemy wants you to even hesitate on that. Well, I don't know the right answer. I'm not going to say it first. No! For freedom, Christ has set me free. And that's the good news of the gospel. And that's the good news that I needed to hear. And I pray it was encouraging to you. Lord Jesus, thank you that for freedom you have set us free. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to crucify our flesh with its passions and desires every day, that they would die. That we might walk with you in true freedom. Reflecting our freedom to the world around us, never again returning to Satan's yoke of slavery. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.